Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Dr. Marie, and you're tuned into the Real Talk for Real People and this investigatory archaeology study show. It goes back in time to do a critical analysis and/or assessment to come to some firm conclusions how we should comport ourselves with our Creator, our Almighty, and each other, and different nations. And that is the premise of these studies. But before we get started, I'd like to share something with you, if I may. I think Aviyah was privy to the conversation that I had on Foodbook with a young brother. And I'm going to go into a synopsis, how you handle matters. You don't have to cuss. You don't have to fuss. You don't have to fight. You don't have to name call. You don't have to belittle. You don't have to demean. And you don't have to do none of that. You just get straight to the point. Brush aside all the nonsense. And you ask questions. You respond to those questions. Those questions don't line up to what is discussed. You make it quite clear. And then you inform young people about the role they play in the line of succession and authority, and that they're following or playing their part in that line of successions as regards to the king, prince, princesses, elders, judges, and so on and so forth. And the response, if they love the Most High, should come off into a positive result. If they don't love the Most High and they're leaning to their own understanding, you simply don't have to argue, fuss, fight, and cuss with anyone. Just walk away. It's quite that simple. We have no bone to pick with anyone. We have nothing to prove, and there is no showboating necessary. And so that is the Most High way. There is no showboating. Follow instructions to the letter, and then you won't have any problems. And you know, in regards to someone, if they want to act a fool, you simply send them to Fool's Paradise, especially on Facebook, Fool's Book, I call it. And they have a button for that. It's called block. You don't have to put up with that nonsense. And if you're in the public venue, in a private setting, you simply get up and walk off. It's just that simple. And there's no room for showboating. Not in the Most High world. There's room for results. And another thing, I've been watching the goings on. As far as this post-election is concerned, with Rudy Giuliani, Pollyanna, and that guy was on yesterday, and he was just talking all crazy. It reminded me of the Wicked Witch of the East or West, one of them, when there was the end of the Wizard of Oz, like a bucket of truth was thrown on that wizard, that witch. And she said, "Oh, I'm mad, I'm mad." Giuliani looked like he was the Wicked Witch of the East or West, whatever that witch was. He was melting. His hair dye was rolling out of his head. I don't do dye. I'm not vain. What you see is what you get. I don't do hair dye. I'm not that vain. But Giuliani, he was just on a meltdown. He was just, "Ooh, I'm melting, I'm melting. I said, man, look at this guy." But you know what? When it comes to those people, and I do mean those people, nothing they say or whatever comes out their mouth surprises me, especially when I saw the ladies behind him, those so-called attorneys, looking like Stafford Wise. And I said, man, look at these people here. They don't love the truth, but they sure run after a lie. They show like liars. That tells me about the people, the caliber of people that we're dealing with. They love lies. They love telling you something. They got warehouses full of them. And they don't mind bringing out a pastor when time's called for having them. And they love liars. As I said, they have a pastor of them too. They got warehouses full of them. They don't mind loving on them and mind supporting them. And some of you may be asking yourself, Yum Su, what is really going on? Well, if you don't understand white supremacy and what it stands for and what it is, how it works, as Nellie Fuller Jr. says, you're totally confused about everything. You want to know what's going on with Donald Trump? What has been going on with universal white race supremacy from its very conception? They like to muscle up on you. They like to muscle up. They like to use violence. And so what Donald Trump is doing, there's nothing been done under the sun before as far as what he's doing, muscling up, you know, trying to throw his weight around. Universal white race supremacy has always done this. You have to just study his history. I mean, in his history in regards to us, it's been the same MO. Violence, muscling up, lies, misdirection, and confusion. So it hadn't changed its MO. It's refined itself. It doesn't have us on those plantations anymore. But we're still in a state of captivity. We're still abused, mistreated, and dominated, and sometimes killed. So if you don't understand universal white race supremacy, what it is, how it works, you're totally confused about everything. And I do concur with Neely Fuller Jr. because that is our, you don't know, that's our captivity. Universal white race supremacy has us captives universally. They run everything. They tell you what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. Oh, you want to fly somewhere? You got to get a passport. Well, I want to go. No, you can't go. Why? Because I said so. You got to have a passport. You got to have a visa. You have to have a birth certificate. You have to have a... No, you can't bury your papa and your mama on your land. Why? Because I said so. My baby was born yesterday. Where's your birth certificate? I don't need one. Yes, you do. Why? Because I said so. Oh, it's true. Universally speaking. That being said, before we get started in our studies, let me bring my brother and friend on, Cartrell from New York City. Cartrell, I'm pretty sure he's going to have some commentaries on what I've just said. May the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Shalom, family. Shalom, Brother Yansu Fahari. May the Most High bless you.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend. May the Most High bless you.
Hey, man. It's getting harder and harder. Follow you up, man. It's been a mouthful. But senior man Rudy, he looked like he was melting, man. under intense interrogation.
I'm telling you, man. Stop running.
I ain't never seen a politician, a lawyer, a judge sweat like he was sweating.
He was on
what
the
sweating about.
I'm sorry. He's sweating about them lies. He did.
His lies was outrageous.
Bro,
he's blaming Venezuela, Argentina. He's blaming the Duke of Earl. he's blaming every. Yeah, he said somebody from England, the Duke of Earl, Duke of Wellington, somebody. Yo, Rudy Giuliani, you talking about reality TV show? That's why he's getting paid $20,000 a day.
What?
A sideshow.
He working hard for his money in the country. He's working hard for
$20,000 a day. Uh-huh. Trump paying the man $20,000 a day. And they call themselves a strike force crew. Those lawyers, the two ladies,
right,
and the people that was behind them.
Uh-huh.
And they look like zombies, man. Everything Rudy Giuliani was saying while his dye was coming down his face and the sweat he wiping sweat off his face. They just nodding their head like everything's okay. I would put my hand on his shoulder like, Rudy, you okay? You need a cup of ice or you need a cup of water, son?
I tell you, they were like, I mean, they were just walking dead, bro.
Oh, Lord. And you're right, because universal white racist supremacy, how they got what they got was by force.
Exactly.
Especially America, because I was telling my son yesterday, some brothers yesterday.
Right.
This is how America was born. They robbed the king.
Yeah, they rebels.
The English king had 13 colonies. And these 13 colonies that belonged to the king of England, they were sending stuff back to him. They decided one day, oh, nah, we're going to keep this stuff for ourselves.
Right.
To get the king. King said, what? To get who? King sent his troops over here. That's how the Revolutionary War started.
Exactly.
These dudes are rebels in America.
They're
they
rebels.
Like rebellion. They like defiance. That's why they love Donald Trump.
Right. They're violent. They're violent prone. And they're rebels. And so to see the end result when we see them in the streets marching, talking about
AK-47.
Right. I mean, come on now.
AR-12.
Right. It shouldn't surprise you. Shouldn't come as no surprise.
Not at all. But you know what they say, y'all?
What's that,
you
my brother? What's
that? If you live by the sword,
you shall die by the sword.
Uh-oh. You know it.
For
live
sure.
By the sword. You die by the sword. Y'all want to bring out the sword? The sword is coming out for you.
And they certainly live by it.
We talk about our sword because we talk about y'all's sword. And your sword is too short to fence with y'all's sword.
Yeah, and they certainly live by it, Cottrell.
No question.
And they've taught us to live by it, unfortunately, in our communities. We're good.
We don't have to live by it. We don't have to live by the sword.
But
no, we don't have to do what they do.
Well, I'm talking about in regards to us killing each other in our community.
Oh, yeah. That's a problem.
Yeah.
That's
a real big
problem.
Our youths are out of control. And I posted something on Foodsbook, too. When you take the elders and strip them of their authority in the communities, you undermine and you kill the community. And the community dies. So for all intents and purposes, they undermined our communities and our communities. And the result that you see out of lack of eldership and control over your communities. That's what it is, Katria. And the lack of Yah in our community.
And so, too, it's taking the man out the house.
True be told. They know what they were doing.
Oh, yeah.
They don't want you to whoop them, but they'll show lock them up and kill them.
Well, it's funny you said that because my son is dealing with his youth, my grandchildren.
Right.
He needs to put discipline in them because they don't like to clean up.
Right.
And I didn't like to clean up, but my mother was always in my ear, clean your room up. Clean your room up. Pick your sneakers up. Pick your dirty drawers up. Pick your socks up. Clean your room up. I couldn't wait to get away from my mother. What's she talking about cleaning my room up? I'm getting out of here. No, you got to learn how to clean because bad habits are hard to break.
That's your mother was right. She should have whooped you. Because I got mine. And it didn't kill me.
My mother was Sergeant Mom, bro.
Yeah.
Whatever was going on in my mind wasn't the action my mother was making me take. Because when she said clean your room, she was not playing. If you ain't do it, she grabbing the next item she could grab with her hand, and your head is the target.
Well, these children need to follow instructions. They need to follow instructions. When we get back to the land, ain't what they got going? Ain't no call 911, daddy, mama whooping me. Ain't gonna be none of that. The whole village, you call the elder or call the elders in the village, you may get whooped by the whole village. Okay?
That's right. We lost that element.
Yeah.
We ain't got no respect for elders. We too old. We done away. We ain't up with the time.
And some of the times, God, truth be told, we shouldn't be up with. Okay.
That's right. And we need to tell youth, y'all need to avoid these things in the times that you're living in.
Yeah. But unfortunately, Cottrell,
I think it's new, but it ain't nothing but the same game by a different name.
Well, unfortunately, Cottrell, the elders and the elders have sold out some of them. They're following the youth. They're trying to be young again. Everlastingly youth. You know, they're trying to wear clothes that don't, the women trying to wear clothes so tight. And they ain't got no behinds in the bag. They got behinds in their stomach, okay? But they're trying to wear them anyway. And they're trying to wear clothes all the way up to the buttocks and whatnot, tattooed feet to head. You got the brothers trying to wear skinny jeans, look like skinny old madmen. You know what I mean? Don't make no
and
sense.
And they don't even wear them on their hips. They wear them halfway down their butt.
They can't get them up their hips.
So they can't get them up their hips.
They can't get them up their hips. All right. All right, y'all. Let's get busy, y'all. Turn to chapter 11 of Shemot.
Right. And in studies, you notice that the elders were always called first.
And that's the point. That's
the elders in any society. You go to China, Trust me, they got mad respect for the elders. If you take a trip to Africa,
certain countries,
when you're out,
right? Certain countries in Africa, I know Madagascar. I speak to people in Madagascar. I know that for a certainty, and I know for certain, young folk don't run nothing there.
When you take a trip to Africa, and an elder passes by you, they stand up and greet you.
And so they should.
No, we ain't never seen that here in America, ever.
Well, they
ever.
Should come.
Never,
that's why
ever.
That's why we are hot mess, okay?
But
all
the
right.
Most I tell them to honor the Horie. And
yep.
That's something that we lost here in this Western captivity.
Exactly. All right. Chapter 11 of Shemot, and we're going to get started. This is family night. We're going to have time for some chit-chat. And the Elohim said to Moses, I will bring but one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon Mizraim, and that he shall let you go from here. Indeed, when he lets you go, he will drive you out from here, one and all. Tell the people to borrow each man from his neighbor and each woman from their Egyptian neighbors, from her objects of silver and gold. The Elohim disposed the Mizraimites favorably toward the people. The common people were disposed favorably toward them. Moreover, Moses himself was much esteemed in the land of the Mizraim, the common people. Among Pharaoh's couriers and among the people, the common people, they thought favorably of them. Moses said, thus said the Elohim, tonight midnight, I will go forth among the Mizraimites, and every firstborn in the land of Mizraim shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the millstones, and all the firstborn of the cattle. There should be a loud cry in all the land of Mizraim, such as never been or will ever be again. But not a dog shall snarl at any of the Israelites, at man or beast, in order that you may know that the Elohim makes distinction between Mizraim and Israel because of the skin hue. One reason I make a distinction. Y'all look similar between you.
But wait a minute. Don't go too fast, brother. The Most High say he gonna kill who?
All firstborn.
How does he know who all the firstborn is?
The Most High know everything.
You saying about that maid that's around the millstone back there? I know about her too, and her firstborn.
He know about everything, and you know what? A lot of they lied to y'all too. All these years, y'all was believing the firstborn was just males. The firstborn was females and males. Firstborn means firstborn. I don't care if it's a woman. I don't care if it's a male, a female or male. If it's firstborn, it's going down.
And animals too.
And the firstborn of animals, too. Male or female.
They didn't take a survey, did they?
No, he didn't send out a survey. He didn't send out a census. He knew.
Who's the firstborn?
Yeah, he knew who the firstborns was.
Shows you that Yah knows a lot, don't he?
He knows everything.
He's targeting specific targets. All the firstborn. Wow.
He knows everything.
You know all the firstborn in Egypt, even the animals?
He knows all the firstborn, universally speaking.
Come on now, we're talking about the Creator. He knows how many hairs you got on your head.
Right, he has no limitations.
No.
He has no limitations.
We tried to limit him and try to put our thoughts on him, but he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. You can't think like me or think for me or speak for me unless I tell you to speak for me. Like he's telling Moses to speak for him, and he's giving Moses direct words to say.
Well, when we go to Job, you'll find out.
Uh-huh.
When y'all speaking to Job, you'll find out. And the couriers of yours shall come down to me and bow low to me, saying, depart you and all the people who follow you. After that, I will depart. And he left Pharaoh's presence in hot anger. he left irate. Now the Elohim said to Moses, Pharaoh will not heed you in order that my marvels may be multiplied in the land of the Mizraimites. And Moses and Aaron performed all these marvels before Pharaoh. But the Elohim has stiffened the heart of Pharaoh so that he would not let the Israelites go from his land. And now them headbutts could spend the cup. Quadrille?
Yes.
Have you any additional commentary?
Yes. The fact that the Most High was multiplying, what do you say? His wonders. Right? That's what we was highlighting, the fact that he knows every firstborn in the land of Egypt. He ain't had to take no census. He ain't have to ask nobody who's the firstborn. He knew every firstborn in Egypt because y'all knows.
He knows right? everything. You can't hide nothing.
And then he protected the children of Israel while he was killing all the firstborn in Egypt.
He made a distinction.
And the fact that we didn't have to take up arms against the Egyptians. And we remember the last time Pharaoh said, you're not going to see my face no more unless I kill you, right? That's what he told him, right?
Right.
So we see Moses back up in his face, but he ain't, you know, telling his soldiers to kill him, is he?
He ain't laying, he ain't touching him.
And Moses saying, it's the last time I'm going to see you because this is the final wonder and sign that y'all going to put on y'all, and you're going to let us go.
Right.
He said, all this even happened, he said, go to the Egyptians and ask them for silver and gold and fine linen. And guess what? Israel did that, and what did the Egyptians do?
They were faithful. The coming people
they
were
gave
faithful.
It to them.
Yeah.
Yes. You think these people here, if we went to ask them for silver and gold, they would give it to us?
They give you a shot of buckshots.
Silver and gold. And the Egyptians gave it up willingly after Yah beat them down. If y'all tell you to ask these people for silver and gold, like you said, you're going to get a buckshot.
They get some lead buckshots.
They're going to tell you no counterfeit.
You don't get off my land. You don't get off my land.
You're on my property. Bring out the AKs and the machine gun Kellys and everything else.
Yeah, they're going to give you some. They're going to give you some metal.
Some metal. Not the
brass,
kind you asking for.
Yeah, brass AK-47s. And shotgun shell lead, okay?
And you can see the people in Egypt appreciated Moses. Pharaoh didn't appreciate him.
They liked
him. The people was like, wow, my man got some superpowers.
Yeah.
My man Moshe got some superpowers. And they had mad respect for him.
Yeah,
mad respect for him. Pharaoh's like, nah, man, I ain't listening to you, bro.
Pharaoh like Donald Trump, man.
He's worse than Donald Trump, yo. He's challenging the Most High, trying to negotiate with the Most High.
Get on out of here.
He's trying to negotiate with Yah.
Yeah.
Yah's like, I don't negotiate with humans. Mm-hmm. You do what I tell you to do.
Exactly.
When I tell you to do it. How I tell you to do it. To let my son go, fool, for your son die.
Exactly.
And that Yah fulfilled his promise.
He certainly did, God.
Play with me,
did.
Try to negotiate with me. You ain't let them go yet? Okay. You lied to me all this time. You told me you're going to let them go. You begging and pleading, and you didn't do it yet? This is the final time, because I gave you mad warning.
Exactly.
Y'all gave him a lot of warnings, didn't he?
He gave him a whole lot of warnings.
Ample opportunity. So you can't say y'all wasn't fair to Pharaoh, because Pharaoh could have said, listen, I'm really, something's wrong with my heart here. And,
my thinker broke.
My thinker's broke. Mm-hmm. Help me change.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But he wasn't going to change. He's Pharaoh.
He wants to show up and show out. That's what he wants to do. I'm going to show up. I'm going to let Mose and that old man brother hear us with it. Let him know who running things up in Mizraim. It sure ain't them. I'm going to show them. And I'm going to let the people know who running this. I'm running this. Well, he found out he wasn't running anything. He got ran over, so to speak. All right. Turn to chapter 39, and you're going to find out a little bit about you, how he is and what he is and what he's about. And he don't have to answer nobody. But he's questioning Job about, why you come at me like that, Job? Let me ask you some questions. Turn it to the 39th chapter. We're almost finished with Job. Almost finished.
So anybody think that they got questions for Yah that he can't answer, he got questions for us. He know we can't answer.
For certain. For certain. One thing you're right, and two things you're certain. I'm going to give you a few seconds to get there. We're going to get started in our studies. Take a sip of this aqua. Aqua, you know what aqua is? That's Spanish for water, man. Y'all slow aqua. Aqua. Good aqua. Okay.
It's Mayim in Hebrew.
Say it again.
Mayim.
I'm taking a drink of Mayim. Okay,
yep.
Okay. All right, listeners, may the Most High bless you by the reading and studying, intense study, investigatory study, archaeology study of his word. And most importantly, after you study his word, it does you no good unless you make the application of his word. So let us.
I got to help you with that word.
Okay.
Archaeological.
It is archaeological.
Illogical.
It is archaeological. Some of the things they're doing in this universe.
Archaeological.
Okay, archaeological.
Yeah, it's a tongue twister.
Archaeological. Okay. And Yah is speaking to Job. Do you know the time when the wild mountain goat bears young? Or can you mark the deer? Mark when the deer gives birth? Can you number months that I fulfill? Do you know the time when the bear young? They bow down. They bring forth their young. They deliver their offspring. The young ones are healthy. They grow strong with grain. They depart and do not return to them. He says, who set the wild donkey free? Who loosened the bonds of the onagi, an animal like a wild ass? Whose home I have made the wilderness and the barren land his dwelling? He scorns it. This animal don't like the city. He scorns it from us of the city. He does not heed the shouts of the driver. You can't control this animal. The range of the mountain is his pasture. And he searches after every green thing. He don't care what it's at. He going to get it. I've seen these animals like that. I've seen them on dams, you know, man-made dams. And I've seen these animals go to get a salt lick. And this thing, a man-made dam, you know, you think it was so smooth on the dry side. Man, this thing was so far up, even almost to the top of the dam. I mean, like 30, 40, 50, 60, like Cartrell up there. When Cartrell was doing, he was up there, they'd walk way up there to get a salt lick. These animals are nimble. No fear. Even if I seen the little mama. Now I see a little baby followed mama, and a little baby followed mama all the way up there. They're nimble. He said, I made them. Will the wild ox be willing to serve you, Job? Will he bed to your manger, your manger? Can you build the wild ox and the pharaoh, bind the wild ox and the pharaoh with ropes like you do your donkey or your horse? Or will he plow the valley behind you? Will you trust in him because his strength is great? Or will you leave your labor to him? Will you trust him to bring home your grain? Or gather it to your threshing floor, Job? The wings of the ostrich weighs proudly. But are wings and pinions like the kindly stork? But are her wings and pinions like the kindly stork, Job? The inside of her wings, the setup. For the ostrich leaves her eggs on the ground. She warms them in the dust. She forgets that a foot may crush them, or a wild beast may break them. She treats her young harshly, as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without concern, because Yah deprived her of wit. I took her common sense away from her. He did not endow her with understanding. That's like some of us. He lifts her on high, and she scorns the horse and his rider. Have you given a horse his strength, Job? Have you clothed his neck with thunder? Can you frighten him like a locust? His majestic snorting strikes terror. He paws in the valley and rejoices in his strength. He gallops into the clash of arms. You can train this animal to go into war with you. He mocks at fear and is not frightened, nor does he turn back from the sword. The quivers rattle against him, the glittering spear and javelin. He devours the distance with fierceness and rage. He gonna come right at you. I made him like that. Nor does he come to a halt because of the trumpet, because the trumpet has sounded. He don't stop. At the blast of trumpet, he says, ha ha! He smells the battle from afar, the thunder of captains and shouting. Job, does the hawk fly by your wisdom and spread its wing toward the south? Does the eagle mount up at your command, Job, and make his nest on high? Are the rocks his dwell and resides on the crag of the rock? In the stronghold, it spies out the prey. His eyes observe from afar. His young ones suck blood. And where the slain are, there it is. Moreover, the Elohim answered Job and said, shall the one who contends with the Almighty corrects him? Shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes Yah, let him answer. Can't no man answer. Job couldn't answer that, and not one of us can answer that. Yet a whole lot of us try. A whole lot of us like to question Yah. A whole lot said, I don't know what Yah waiting on to get us home away from him. I don't know why he won't let us use no AK-47 and slingshot like Daoud on these folk. I don't know why he don't let us fuss and fight with him on the street corner. I don't know why he don't let us just do what we want to do, how we want to do it, when we want to do it, because you ain't the Almighty. That's your problem. That's some of our problems. We ain't the Almighty. And we learn how to follow instructions like Job and like Moses and Aaron, we'll be a whole lot better off. See, we've been messed up in the thinker. Our thinkers are broken, my trail. What say you, my brother and friend?
I say that there's not a human being on earth that could answer any one of the questions that the Most High posed to Job.
Truth be told.
Especially the last one, because that's the one that knocks you upside your head.
Oops,
he said, shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct the Almighty? He who rebukes Elohim, let him answer it. So we know a lot of people contend with Yah. Got atheists and Western philosophy and doctrine that believes only in science and evolution and the Big Bang Theory. They don't give no props to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at all, do they?
None whatsoever.
So they want to know why he don't allow homosexuality and LGBTQ activity. No. You contended with the Most High because he said don't do it. It's an abomination.
Universal white race supremacy allows all that.
Right.
That's what That's what's in their name. We supreme. But they're not supreme. They can't allow anything that the Most High say you can't do. Okay?
And the thing is, the Most High allows them to get away with it. But like mm-hmm. I said, there's not a human being on earth that can answer any one of the questions the Most High posed. Because he's a creator. You don't know how he made them nimble on that dam like that. I'm sure you was looking in wonder. That's one of the wonders of Yah. See a goat climbing a smooth wall.
No fear, contrary.
With a little baby following behind her.
And the baby had no fear neither. None whatsoever.
No fear. As long as she's close to mama, she's safe.
You were safe.
I could scale this wall as long as I'm close to mama. Amazing.
Exactly. And she was following right with mama. I mean, she was having, because of the newness of the situation, she was having problems getting her grip. But once she got that toehold, she come on right behind mama. Mama was just walking up there like me and you walk down the street.
But I think that the Most High was trying to hammer home the fact that here it is, your four men, including young brother, the fifth guy,
right,
sitting here. You're so focused on yourselves, you're not seeing the wonders of my creation. Which
exactly.
is why Yah goes into that diatribe. Do you understand how a bird flies? Do you understand how I command the seas that they don't go beyond a certain boundary? Because
right.
y'all don't even think about this stuff. You're just taking it for granted.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So he made the ostrich, but the ostrich got wings, but she can't fly.
And she's stupid. Right? And she ain't got no
And she lays the eggs on the ground and forgets that her baby's on the ground. She's going to crush him with her big foot.
She ain't got no common sense.
Why? Because the Most High said, I take wisdom from the bird.
Mm-hmm.
I made the bird, but she ain't got wisdom like y'all.
Right.
Right?
She ain't like other birds. Right.
But I made the horse too. Mm-hmm. Right? The horse ain't stupid like the ostrich. The horse you could command to go into battle. With speed and power and a thunderous neck, where he's going up against the battle axe and the sword and the loud trumpets, he ain't fearing because you on his back. You know,
right.
that vibe as a warrior that you got with that horse, as long as you're not fearful, that horse ain't fearful.
He fears the vibe.
That's right. And if you feel fear, that horse is going to buck you right off him and run.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be wondering like, yo, you'll be whistling, hey, yo, Trigger, come back.
Trigger
will have some nice words, but he probably N-word at you too. Yeah. But Yah's creation is amazing. And we always are so focused on ourselves and our problems and our L's. We're crying out to Yah, but we're not really paying attention to his wonders. He's saying, I feed the animals. I, you know, provide, you know, meat for the lion and
right.
for his young. I do that. Do you do that? No, we can't provide meat for the lion every day for him and his young. Yah
right.
does that.
And he said
that's something y'all ain't really got to worry about because I take care of that.
And he said about the wild ox. That's wild ox. You can't get no harness.
Talk
about you going to plow the field with that wild ox. That ox gonna keep
Why
on
can you
going.
Do it to a horse and you can't mm-hmm. do it to an ox? What's the difference?
Yeah.
Y'all made them different. That's
I made them. I made them.
That's right.
Right.
Can you change it?
No, we can't change it. Ain't, but a lot of folk try to change things, Cadre. You know that now.
Oh, yeah. Scientists
folk,
is at work trying to modify everything.
Even us, Cadre. Even us. A lot of
us. Oh, yeah. Even us. Especially us.
Yep. Because, I I'm ahead of us, especially in all the stories. I stay ahead. And I'm reading about the Passover. And certain requirements of the Passover.
Uh-oh.
I don't see it. I don't see it.
Impossible.
I don't see it. Okay?
Most of us have never even seen a live sheep or seen a sheep give birth.
You know what I'm saying? How you going to do it? You don't own it. I guess you're going to go to Costco's
and you're going to run up to Lion King and buy you some lamb.
You gonna buy you some frozen lamb?
Lamb chops.
That ain't it. Is I didn't read no part where it said go to Costco, get your lamb, go to the Misery Nights and get
lamb
some
plug.
No, I ain't read none of that. Since you,
Arabs,
you got the free. You got
go
the
free. Yeah. Allah.
Mm-hmm.
Most I said, bring your lamb of the first year without blemish. We ain't seen a lamb of the first year without blemish ever.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about. Because, see, because you can't
do
it.
Look like? A lamb of the first year without blemish.
We ain't never.
Honest with you.
And all of us got a lamb we taking out to slaughter. We ain't never seen nothing like that. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's an ordeal. You go to the slaughterhouse.
Right.
That's how they slaughter them animal. You might become a vegetarian.
I know it. But see, we didn't slaughter animals like they slaughter. That's rather cruel what they do. That'll make me cry. Those animals be crying. They be shaking. They be terrorized and everything. You know.
I'm going to tell you a true story, y'all. We up here in the Bronx, right? We got our temple.
Right.
And we preparing for Passover, so we're going to go to, you know, Israelites, because they, you know, slaughtered a lamb, you know, the kosher way. You know, they say a prayer, and, you know, they put the lamb at ease, and then they slit his neck, and then, you know, go through that process. So I'm going to my first lamb slaughter. Never seen one. I'm a city boy. I ain't never seen animal slaughter.
Right.
And I get to the butcher shop, right? The brother picks out the lamb. Ishmaelite says a little prayer. He cut the lamb's throat, hung him up. The lamb was bleeding blood out of his neck, jerking off the hook he put him on. And I felt like I was going to faint. I had to walk out and get some air. I ain't never felt the feeling like I was going to faint before. But the first time I seen a lamb butchered and slaughtered, I had to walk out because I was going to faint.
Right.
Real talk. I got dizzy, sweating bullets like Giuliani. I'm like, yo, I need some air. But I didn't expect that. I really didn't.
Yeah, it's
people that go to the supermarket and buy their meat, you should go to a slaughterhouse and see what the process really is. You might become a vegetarian.
Yeah. It's a very traumatic situation for those animals. And if you don't put if you don't put them at ease, because they be in those pens, you can see tears coming out of their eyes. They know what's going on. You can see them.
And they run from you. When you, like, I want that one right there. They'll run from you.
Yeah.
Run around. The dude got to, like, push all the other ones out the way and then grab it and snatch it by the leg and pull it. They know.
They know what's
they
up.
Know. Yep. They ain't stupid.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, it's Saturday night, and we got Ima Hodora on, and other listeners, but we're going to bring on Ima Hodora to join in the conversation. Ima Hodora, may the Most High bless you, love. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, Ima Hodora. May the Most High bless you.
Shalom, shalom. My dear heart, may the Most High bless you as well. I'm just listening tonight and enjoying the program. And I'm just so thankful that you guys are still doing what you do. I encourage y'all, while you got breath and while you got life, do all you can to praise and exalt y'all. Our days are numbered. And our time is limited. And we, Israel, let's get ready to go through some horrifying times. Because they don't believe y'all. They don't believe y'all because of the way we've been taught. And like Job, the Almighty is asking him some crucial questions. And we need to take the time to stop and ask ourselves those same questions. You see, because we're only when you begin to question, do you really begin and meditate, do you really begin to really embrace the magnificence and the power of Yah's creation, you see. And you know, the human mind is beyond comprehension. I mean, you know, and yet they say, well, they're going to take, for example, a microscopic cell and put it under a microscope so that they can see that cell. The point is, what created the cell? What is the cell created out of? See, So if you start really meditating and really embracing the wonders of Yah, there leaves no room in one's mind or heart that He is truly an all-powerful source to deal with. And we, as His elected people, we forget to understand as well that Yah chose us. We didn't choose Yah. Yah chose us. Our forefathers chose Yah. But their children, we rejected our God. And to this day, we're still rejecting Him. May we begin to come up unto understanding who we are. And we're beginning to come out of this deep sleep that we've been in for the last couple of thousand years, not just 400. We've been asleep for almost 3,000 years. And that's why Hosea says on the third day that He will resurrect us. So I just encourage Israel, get ready. Get your head out the sand and know that this is time for us to recognize who we truly are as a people. It's time for this nation to rise up and proclaim the name of Yah, not only in words, but also in action. It's time for us to humble ourselves before Yah humbled us as He humbled Job. Guess what? He promised to do the same with Israel, because He's given us every opportunity to do what He told us to do. And I'm talking about there's far too many that are reading the book, and they see all what God has put there for them to see, and yet they still choose to lean to their own way of doing things, to follow the dictates of their own heart, and put Yah down as a butt, you see. So this the Almighty's getting ready to show when what we all should be mindful of is in His word when He says, in that day they shall know that I am Yah, you see. And so, Israel, get prepared. Our deliverance and redemption is up on us. But guess what? The separation is also up on us as well. So don't lean to your own understanding. Don't go around here with your head all up in the air. The key word to get to know your God is to humble yourselves and submit yourself to your power. The Almighty said, He created us for His glory. And at the end of the day, He's got the last say. So all of this, what we think we're doing, okay, but at the end of the day, where has it gotten us so far? We have to, the final end of the battle is that we have got to humble ourselves and submit ourselves back to our God once again. And it's no way around that, you know. So I'm saying that there's a lot of things going on, hallelujah. And guess what? We're gonna survive this. There are many that's gonna perish, but many are gonna survive it as well. And it's real. The key to surviving is just what I told you: to humble yourself, step inside your chamber, submit yourself into your God, because He's our only salvation. I got a couple of videos and messages, where Trump is threatening to implement martial law, and with the implementing martial law to put out a mandate that everybody has to receive that vaccination. So again, Israel. Everything is, the timing is perfect, and it's all about Yah's plan. Yah told us to gather ourselves together, O nation not desired. Well, He's given us everything we need for that structure, for us to come up under the heading of and into the arms of what our God has created for us for our protection. And He said He's going to gather us with a stretched out arm and fury poured out. Who is He going to gather? He's going to gather this nation. So I'm saying we're going to have to come together as a nation and make a stand and tell our people we are not going to take that vaccine. He's not going to do it. And the only way we can achieve that is to stand on the word of our God and call upon his name and stand as a people united as the nation of Israel. So I'm saying, I just love you guys, and I want you to keep on bringing that word with understanding, because that's what many of our people, we read, but we lack understanding. So, and what you're doing, you may think that you're not reaching anybody, but I'm telling you, you're reaching many, and it's much needed. You know, the worst jobs in the world, nobody really want to do they? But yet and still, just think about the worst jobs that people do. Nobody want to be a janitor. Guess what? If they weren't a janitor, it would be a lot of filthiness, wouldn't it?
Yes, ma'am.
Nobody want to be a garbage collector. But guess what? If anybody collected garbage, well, oh, my gosh, can you imagine? You know, yes. Nobody wants to be in burying the bodies and take care of those cut-ups and burn-ups and all that. But guess what? Somebody's got to do it.
Yes, ma'am.
All of those jobs are needed. And so is what you're doing. This world needs the word. They need to hear the word of the Most High God. And that's where you guys are coming in. I ask that the Almighty bless you mightily. Bless you, keep you wrapped in his arms of protection, and continue to lighten, guide, and direct, and move you in the direction that he has moved you to, the road that you have traveled and the road that you continue to travel, and that is to educate our people. So may Yah be with you, and know that he loves you, and I love you as well. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Ma. God real. God real.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. You have any commentaries on what Ema said?
Ema said a mouthful.
Mm-hmm.
And the essence and the gist of it all is that we have to humble ourselves before our Creator, before he does pour out his furious wrath upon the earth. It's not just upon Israel, but it's upon the earth. And in that fury that he's pouring out, he said he will gather us. But he gave us that pathway to our salvation. So we have to know the pathway to our salvation. And we're only going to get it by diligently studying his word and seeking him out, you know, in a spiritual realm through meditation, through prayer, like we're finding out. We see that the Most High wanted Pharaoh to humble himself, but Pharaoh refused to humble himself. And humility is our biggest challenge. For Israelites to humble themselves, that's our biggest challenge. And it's a simple challenge. It's a simple instruction. It's a simple command. Like what the Most High told Lot and his wife and his daughters, don't turn around. It's a simple command. But it seems so complicated, we make it complicated.
Right.
And when we make it complicated, it tends to hurt us or kill us. So he's telling us, he's giving us fair warning like Pharaoh, as a people, that we need to humble ourselves. And we do have a bright future when we do.
Exactly. Stand down and stand corrected and follow orders. That's just so simple, Cartrell. Stand down, stand corrected, and follow orders.
That's be patient like Job.
Right.
Job was patient.
Right. And he got his answer. He got his response from God. And if you're patient like Job, you'll get your answer, and you'll get your response from Yah.
You may have to go through something, but it'll be worth going through it.
Yep. And the final
I'm
now.
Sure happy that Job, I'm sure that Job was happy that the Most High responded to him directly. He got a direct answer. He didn't get an angel. The Most High came to him in the whirlwind and began to speak to him. And that's amazing when you got the Most High in your presence. So I'm sure he felt uplifted. I'm sure he felt relieved that he knew that the Most High was there still, you know, had his eye on him, and that his friends were wrong. But it's the same thing with us. We can't see the Most High. We don't know when he's coming, but we just got to hold on and be faithful.
Exactly.
Now, so may I say one other thing?
Yes, ma'am.
To show you how faithful Yah is, and his word comes in little smidgens. You can see the evidence of his word if you know Yah. if you truly embrace and take in his word. The Almighty said 400 years. Now, it kind of puts you in the mind of the story with Job. What, 400 years? Isn't it interesting? Over a period of almost 3,000 years, that number 400 still resonates with our people. Matter. Commercials on TV, everybody is speaking about the 400 years. They may not even understand why they're speaking about 400, but they're speaking about it. Over 3,000 years, that number still resonates on our people's lips.
And Ebal, it certainly, if they do their studies correctly, Israel was in the land of misery for 427 years, but they were in the land of in captivity all that time. Okay? So that they
no, they weren't.
Right. They couldn't apply to that land because they weren't in captivity. They was in that land for 427 years, but they were under captivity in that land for 427 years. Now, truth be told, the only one that fits that bill, you looking at them. When you look in the mirror,
Well, the thing of it is, it couldn't have been Egypt. Egypt, that's been over 2,000 years ago. So why is it still resonating with us today?
Exactly.
And to add further to that, the fact that Abraham knew Egypt, why would Yah say your seed is going to be a stranger in a strange land? He could have said your seed is going to be a stranger in Egypt.
Like
Abraham knew Egypt.
Yeah, but he said,
matter of fact, he was in and out of Egypt. He could have said,
right,
your seed is going to be a stranger in Egypt 400 years, and afterwards, they're going to leave with great substance. He didn't say that. He said a strange land.
Who's told
this
you?
Land,
who's told you? You never knew. Never heard.
That's right. He didn't say that to Abraham, but he did say that to Moses.
Right.
He said, I'm going to send you into Egypt again by ship. This Egypt are going to be a people who have no regard for the old nor show favor to the young. In ancient Egypt, they showed favor. The first thing we asked for, we got. Joseph said, tell Pharaoh you want Goshen. What do? He gave us Goshen, right?
Right, right.
Well, we left Egypt. Yah said, ask the Egyptians for silver and gold. And what did they do? They gave it to us. Not only were they scared, they favored us. We blessed Egypt. Egypt was in trouble until Joseph came. All the nations would have been like Somalia and Biafra today, because that area gets hit hard with drought. Them 7 years of drought, the drought in Biafra. You remember them droughts in Biafra, people? Little babies with big bellies and flies flying around them. They can't even swat the flies away.
Well,
that's the kind of famine that hits that part of the land, that area of the map. Those type famines.
Well,
that's why Pharaoh had that dream. He said the lean cow ate the fat cow, and they were still lean. Right? You remember that dream?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Yah hit that area hard with famine and drought, and Pharaoh knew it. That's why he couldn't go to sleep. He's like, "Where's my counselors? We need to figure this out." And fortunately, Joseph was there to preserve them, which is why the Egyptians showed them favor, because they wouldn't have made it through that drought without Joseph. Some people remember Joseph. Maybe Pharaoh didn't remember Joseph, but the Egyptians remember Joseph.
Well, Cadriel and Ema, I just say this. When the Israelites left that land, the Mizraims went down. They went down.
They were never
down.
And she's never regained her power since.
Never. He broke both Pharaohs. He broke both his arms. Like
that's what he said. Break Pharaoh's arm.
Yeah. He certainly
did. And our people that are caught up in Egyptology, and some of them may be Egyptians because Almighty scattered Egypt as well. But
right,
for those that are caught up in Egyptology, I said, then bring forth the book of, what is it, I forget the name of their book.
The book of the dead?
The
book of the dead, Ema? They have a book of the
Yeah. Yeah, I'm saying bring forth that book.
And
bring forth any book of religion that you're subscribing to, and let them tell you how you got over here.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I said if each of us all is what I find, we don't use our head at all. We just go with whatever sounds good, and that's what we are found on. Anytime we have to go back to Egypt thousands of years to boast about her greatness, but we can't boast about nothing since then. We can't even tell the world how we got from Egypt, lost her power. She was so great, but now the same one that she was, the one that was the dumbest, ended up subduing her, and now he's got power over her. And then you talking about how great you were and how dumb he is, but you up under his jurisdiction this day, and he's not up under yours. How did that happen? Those are the things that brings us truth and understanding if we meditate and think about it. Stop going with what sounds good. Because when you apply it, it really shows just how lost we really are as a people. How much we lack knowledge of. We don't lack knowledge of ourselves. I had a conversation about this, like Job, like the Almighty, and the conversation was going between Job and the Creator. Well, another couple of people on social media, and they was talking about how did anybody that believe an ark, a man took 120 years to build an ark and loaded it with every animal on earth, and then got in the ark and he survived, and all the animals survived. That's crazy as hell. And I told him, I said, you know, you're right. You know, because if you think about a lot of things today, it's right here in front of our face. I believe that a pound of flesh, not even a pound, it takes care, it commands every fiber or every function of your body. It ain't nothing but some flesh. You're crazy as hell. How is it that you got nerves running through your body that you can't even see? But guess what? If one becomes damaged, it lets you know it's there. How does that happen? Your body is 90% water, but guess what? You go in the water, you can drown. That 90%, hey. And not only that, that water is mixed with blood, and they never, never cross one another. And when they do in such a small space, guess what? You got an alarm system that goes off to let you know something is wrong. If you believe that, you're crazy as hell.
How about this, Ima? You have acid in your stomach that breaks up meat, yet the acid in your stomach doesn't eat your stomach up.
You're crazy as hell. I'm here to tell you, I'm going through some issues. I had surgery last Friday, and the doctor told me, he said, I don't even know why you're still walking. It's by all indication, you shouldn't even be here. How do you feel? I said, I feel great.
Mm-hmm.
You see, still scratching his head, he's baffled. So I'm saying for all of those, and this is too, I want to say this, for all, I've had many calls to be coming through. Everybody's worried about the virus. They worried about the vaccination. They worried about all. What did Yah say? Did not Yah say, be strong and of good courage and fear not and know that I am with you? We claim we understand Yah's word. We claim that we understand that America's got to go down. But you know what? Yah's taking that down, and we crying like hell to save her. Huh? Something wrong with this picture.
Well, you know what Trump's doing, and he can't do that, and what we need to do, we and you know what he's doing to me, huh? Well, it's how do you explain the word of Yah? Yah say he's taking her down, and he's going to meet her, but he's not going to meet her as a man. But when he gets through with it, she won't be fit for man nor beast. So what? How is he going to do that while you're still holding fast to her?
If you hold it fast to her, you're going down with her.
We cry, we talk to talk. But you talk long enough, you let you know where your heart is and your head is, and it ain't with ya.
It's like the Titanic, Ima. It's like the Titanic. The boat is sinking, but we're still trying to bail out the water.
Absolutely. And you know, the Titanic said that she would never sink.
Mm-hmm.
Sunk on the first voyage.
The first voyage.
The first voyage. Almighty letting you know who is in control. And
especially in Job.
Yes, and I'm saying it, as we speak to this day, Yah is tearing this earth up. And guess what? They are running around in mass confusion. Didn't Yah say he was going to send the pestilence?
And they dying like flies.
Did we think he was joking? Did we think he was joking? And when he sent it, we're going around complaining, huh? We better get right. We better get right with this creator. And it ain't no fooling him. He ain't moved by no smooth words. They don't mean nothing to him. He looks at our hearts. And if your heart is right with Yah, you're rejoicing right about now. Because you're knowing that he said what he was going to do on our behalf, and what comes after he gets through doing his thing. Our deliverance. I'm not trying to save America. Burn, baby, burn. Let Yah do whatever he said he's going to do. Hallelujah. I praise you, dear Yah. And I thank you, dear Yah, for your word. Your word, Abba, is coming to pass. I thank you, Yah, that you have taught me how to trust you. I thank you, dear Abba. I thank you that your word, we can stand on it. We can trust it and know that you are the great I am. Hallelujah. And may we all praise
Hallelujah.
Ever and exalt him, for he is worthy to be praised, Israel. This is your God. He never told no lie, talking about he so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He never told you that lie. He said he so loved his son that he gave men for his life and will give people for his life. He gave whole nations for you, Israel, because he loved you. Wants us your love and respect in return. Yeah, so I appreciate you. I thank you. I love you.
Yes, ma'am. I love you, man. Well, thank you, Ima. You said, as Cartrell always said, you said a mouthful. And I hope they took it all in, Ima, because they should take it all in. Okay? I like that part about the Titanic, the unsinkable Titanic. It's like they talk about
yes.
this. Just like they talk about this country, unbeatable, invincible.
Mm-hmm.
And the Most High is showing that myth is just a myth. Truth be told. Yes, ma'am. Well, Cadrell, right about now, we need another song to take it on out of here, my brother.
I got you. I've got another psalm by the prophet Moshe. And the beauty of Yah is that he's doing what he said he's going to do. And we talk a lot about Donald Trump, but it's not Donald Trump by himself. Donald Trump got a legion of followers, and you're talking about some powerful leaders. And what we see is a division amongst our enemy. I'm talking about a bitter division amongst our enemies. And that should be to our advantage because they're always trying to divide us. So Yah's given us time and respite to get ourselves together, to get ourselves together with him, because he's always there for us. We just have to turn our attention toward him and not worry about how he's dealing with our enemies. Because if you're looking, he's definitely got them in division and in confusion and at odds with one another. So the 92nd Psalm is a Psalm of Moshe, and it's classified as a Psalm of the Shabbat Day. So this is a Shabbat Day Psalm. This is a Psalm that we recited every time we went to the synagogue or to the temple on the Shabbat Day, which we consider the Shabbat Day, the seventh day. It says, it's good to give thanks unto Yah and to sing praise unto your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. So this doesn't necessarily have to be just for the Shabbat. You're supposed to give Yah thanks and praise and declare his loving kindness every day. It says, on an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute, and on the harp, with a harmonious sound, for you, Yah, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. So the focus is not the works of our hands, but what works of Yah is Yah doing in all the earth, amongst men, amongst nations, amongst people. And if you're paying close attention, his works are with us. His hands are upon us. He's molding us. He's shaping us. As a matter of fact, he tells us, he's the potter and we're the clay. And a potter can't work with hard clay. If you're hard, he's throwing you out. So that's where humility comes in. Humility allows Yah to mold you and shape you in a fashion and a manner that he desires, not our own desire, but how he desires to fashion us. And we will triumph in his works when Yah is finished with us. Oh, Yah, how great are your works? Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, neither do fools understand this. So when we talk to our people, they have been beaten senseless, and the fact that they don't want resolution or solution and they're happy with their senselessness, they will never understand, because that is foolishness, not to come out of your senselessness. When the wicked spring up as the grass, which we see, the wicked are in power worldwide, not just here in America. The wicked spring as the grass. And when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. So even though you see them flourishing, prospering, living the jet set life, living off yachts, taking vacation, having big bank accounts, the Most High said that they shall be destroyed forever. But you, Yah, are on high forevermore. For behold your enemies, O Yah. For behold, your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. So it's amazing that Yah, the creator of heaven and earth and everything that's in it, in the heavens above and the earth beneath, Yah has enemies. That's crazy. How can yet the creator who created everything have enemies? But it's true, because Yah gives free will. And he gives you choice. And you can choose to be obedient to him, or you can rebel against his will for you, his creation. But my horn, you have exalted like a wild ox. And we talked about the wild ox. Yah made the wild ox. You ain't putting no rope on no wild ox and riding it like a horse, because Yah didn't make the wild ox like the horse. I have been anointed with fresh oil. This is King David, because everybody is not anointed in Israel. It's the king and the priest. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. So you can't touch Yah's anointed, which is why King David didn't kill King Saul when he had the opportunity, because you do not put your hand on Yah's anointed. So he saw his desire on his enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like the cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of Yah shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. They shall declare that Yah is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Praise Yah. So that's where we want to be, flourishing in the courts of Yah, being able to bear fruit in old age, because we know Yah could do that. People in Noah's time was limited to be 800-900 years old. But because of the wickedness of man, Yah diminished the timeline that man had to spend on the earth. I'm not giving you 400, 500, 600, 700, 800 years to do wickedness and Yah not obeying me, cutting that time short. So Yah could reverse that, and he said he's going to reverse that. When the wicked are destroyed, he said the righteous are going to live to be as old as the trees. And there's some trees on earth that are 2,000-3,000 years old.
They got a tree called they call Methuselah tree.
It says
12,000 years. Yeah.
Where is it at? Somewhere in Africa?
No, it's somewhere in America.
Okay. Wow.
Well, you know, we started something different on Family Affair Night. Before we get out of here, we give people ample opportunity to give Yah praise for whatever they want. So, Ima Hadora, you'd like to give Yah some praise in regards to anything?
I give him praise for all things. Every breath of I breathe, I praise Yah. Because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't breathe. I wouldn't even be here. I praise Yah for his mercy. Because of, in spite of all that we see, if it wasn't for Yah's mercy, we wouldn't be here. Because of all we've done against our God, all the things in different ways we have profaned him and his glory, yet we're still here because of his bountiful mercy. I praise Yah. I praise Yah for his love. Because of his love, we have experienced many, many hardships, but he, through it all, he has provided for us. He's made a way for us. He didn't completely abandon us here in this wilderness. I praise Yah. I praise Yah for every day I can get up and see his sun rise, which is so glorious, and even more so his glorious sunset. You see, I don't take it for granted because every minute is a gift from Yah. Every minute is a blessing to be able to say hallelujah and thank him. I praise Yah. I praise, I exalt him, I love him. And it hurts me. It hurts me, dear Yah, when I see your people, our people, that have said that they have awakened, but yet they still insist on profaning your name, Yah. I cry, I weep. It tears me apart. Praise you, Yah. And I seek forgiveness for all of our people that have yet to awaken to their glory, to their marvelous state in life, to their true heritage, to the true kings that they were chosen to be and queens. I praise Yah. I praise him for choosing us, even though we weren't worthy. He chose us anyway, and he loved us in spite of. I praise Yah. And I encourage every other Israelite that's out there. Really, you think you're all of that and the above? Let go and let Yah. And then you'll really come to understand what a true love is, what a true, the true spirit, the true essence of Yah's love is all about. I tell you, and you'll find the beauty in our humility. That's where Yah's beauty and his love comes through. So powerful. It's just kind of like just light all over you. Praise Yah. Praise Yah. And I hope Israel will grow to one day
praise him as well. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Amen. Is anyone out there in radio land like to praise Yah? Hit number one. Forever hold your peace, praise Yah in your privacy. Makes no never mind, but make sure you praise him. Cottrell, my brother and friend, do you have do you have any praises for Yah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub?
I give thanks and praise to the Most High for today especially. Today was the funeral of my cousin, Ari Ben Kote Ben Benyamin. And he was my older cousin. He was 2 years older than me. And a lot of the music that is heard around the nation in the house of Israel was created by my cousin Ari, my friend Dawi Ben Yehuda, and myself and other family members. And he was like a driver in helping us put that music out that appeals to a lot of people. Anywhere I go, people want us to sing, want me to sing some of the songs that we made, and he was a driving force. I pray that the Most High restores his soul in the future times to come, because he was a valiant servant, a loyal, dedicated servant, and I praise Yah for his life. I praise Yah for the life that brought his life, my uncles and my aunts and my father and my mother, for the family that he brought us in, because my family influenced a lot of Israelites that are here in New York right now, and most of us came out of the dungeons of Christianity, and we were staunch Christians and Baptists and Seventh-day Adventists and 5%ers and Muslim, but with the effort of certain men, certain women, they brought enlightenment to our people. And Yah is true to his word. We're in the end of days. We're in the last days. We see the fourth kingdom falling apart. He said iron and clay don't mix. It's the Roman Greco-Roman Empire, and we see the beginning of its fall. And Yah is in the midst of it all. Like Yama said, he's shaking up the earth. All kinds of things are going on worldwide. They limit our knowledge to what's really going on, but the Most High shaking things up worldwide. People are having trouble all over. And it's going to be a time of trouble for us, but he's given us the opportunity and time to learn about him still, now, even now. So for his loving kindness and his tender mercies, for him being loyal and dedicated to us, his people, I know that Yah is going to be true to his word and deliver on what he said, because we see it. And I pray for the safety of our people and the continuation of Yah's works, that we may be a part of it. So all praise to the Holy One of Yisrael, because there's nothing in creation that can compare to what his works are. So the more we know about his works, the better off we'll be.
Hallelujah, brother.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, I would simply like to praise Yah for every day, as Ima Hadora said, for the air we breathe, the food we eat, the clothes we wear, our place of abode, even some of those places we may not like. I'd like to praise Yah for the wisdom and understanding he's allotted to Katriel, Ima Hadora, and hopefully I, and the humility that he allowed us in order to execute his wisdom and understanding. I'd like to praise Yah for this radio talk show, to put his word out and to keep his word out, because a lot of people have given up on Yah. I'd like to praise Yah for our nation, who we are and who we are to become. I'd like to praise Yah for my mother's recovery from COVID-19. I'd like to praise Yah for my family, my friends, my neighbors, my nation, and other nations. I'd like to praise Yah for every iota of everything. Because without him, there will be no me and there will be no us. We don't know where y'all are going, but you're finna get ready to get out of here. And all praises to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. Thank you,
yes,
Ima.
For his word.
Thank you, Ima Adora. And thank you, Cartrell. May the Most High bless you. And thank you, fellow students, for tuning in with us. And may the Most High bless you, too. Stop leaning to your own understanding, please. Because why? Our thinkers are broken. Do like King Dawood. Be like King Dawood. Learn to walk and be led as in the 23rd of Psalms, the 23rd chapter of Psalms. Learn to walk through the valley in the shadow of death. Learn to not be afraid of the plague. Learn to get you a new thinker. And the only way you can do that is get you a new thinker. Just like King Dawood, when to love the Most High with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, and that thirst continually after righteousness. May the Most High God, the Almighty, I am who I am, may be with you, direct and order your steps. Shalom and good night.
Brown grass on the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind. Her love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Brown grass on the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I made a mess of the life I had with you, in search of something new. Now I find myself falling down on brown. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Why didn't I know that she was a essential part of me? I thought that I needed to find me and I needed to be free. Why didn't I know that she was all that I would ever need? I looked at the distant view and thought it was for me. But now I know it was just brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind. Her love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Why didn't I know that she was a essential part of me? I thought that I needed to find me and I needed to be free. Why didn't I know that she was all that I would ever need? I looked at the distant view and thought it was for me. But now I know it was just brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind. Her love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass.